loving oneness to one and all, and welcome to Freedom's Flame Radio. I am your host, Eve Kerr, and I have a co-host joining me, Anthony Coco. Say hello, Anthony.
Hello, Anthony. Good evening, folks. Lovely to be on the show. Thank you for having me again.
You're welcome, and good morning and good afternoon, wherever you are, and I thank you, we thank you for tuning in on this glorious, beautiful day. Beautiful new opportunities, and we have a beautiful, wonderful lineup today. And we have, I'd like to say just briefly, thank you for tuning in and listening. Thank you to all the lovely beings at BBS Radio, Don and Doug and Deborah. We love you, and we are so grateful for you and the beautiful opportunity we have to broadcast every week, and we're so grateful. And we have been notified that we do have some extra time today, so we'll be broadcasting for 2 hours today, and that's really just wonderful. So if you'd like to get some water and get a journal and a pen, and also take down the toll-free number, which I just had in front of me. It's the 888-627-6008. If you'd like to call in at any point throughout the show, we'd love to hear from you. Our beloved co-host Anthony has an amazing Ascended Master Avatar Showcase today, which he is going to be speaking about on the first half of the broadcast. So if there are any questions or comments or anything you'd like to share, anything you feel that comes up as he's speaking about this, he has some wonderful information to share and bestow, just go ahead and call right in. Also, if you would prefer not to be heard on the air, if you're shy and you have a question, what you can do is you can call in, and one of the wonderful engineers over here, they can Skype me the question, and I can ask the question, so you don't have to be heard on the air. If you'd like to just post your question, and we can answer it for you, they can type it to me. Okay, so you have two options there, and we'd love to hear from you either way, so we encourage you to call in. Again, the number, it's toll-free, U.S. and Canada, 888-627-6008, and we thank you. So we like to start every week, usually, with an invocation, and by the way, I'd like to let you know that Freedom's Flame Radio is Ascended Master sponsored by your one and only beloved Cosmic Violet Flame Ascended Master, beloved Saint Germain. And so he is also available for questions and answers later. If you'd like to ask Saint Germain a question, he can give me the answers, and they can come through me. I can answer questions. He can answer them through me, I should say. And we'll be doing that later on if you feel to ask Saint Germain a question. Okay. So, if we'd like to start with the great invocation, Anthony does it beautifully live, and I'd love to hear that singing if you're inspired to do that.
Okay, here we go. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. Point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose to which the masters know answer. Center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out. May it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan of order. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan of order. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to the world. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose to which the masters know and serve. Center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil lives. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
Beautiful, very beautiful.
I hope some people join in once you get used to the tune.
You know, it'd be nice to have those words on the BBS radio page, on the Freedom Slam page, so that if anyone does want to tune in, I'll make it a point to do that. And see, I have my own notebook here, and I'll jot that down if others are interested. And I think probably many of you out there are aware of the Great Invocation. It's been around for a very long time. And I don't know how widely used it is today. It was really popular a while ago, but I know that all types of invocations are important, and we can personalize them, and we can do them for ourselves, we can do them for the world, we can include whoever we want in our invocations to bestow light, to invoke light on their behalf. So I'm going to do that.
That's a great idea.
So we have some wonderful things today. Now, what we started doing last week was showcasing an ascended master or cosmic being or someone who's been really instrumental in my life and in his life. And so this week we're going to showcase, Anthony's going to showcase an ascended being, an avatar, I believe, who has been very instrumental in his life and on his path. And I'd like to go ahead and just give you the floor and begin as you wish, as you're inspired.
Okay, well, thank you, Eve. Well, this week I want to tell the story of, well, it's a short story of Sri Satya Sai Baba. He's been very instrumental in my life, and he's lived in India. So I'm just going to read out the life story and the workings of Sri Satya Sai Baba. Satya Sai Baba was born in Puttaparthi in a small village in South India on the 23rd of November 1926. As a child, he demonstrated exemplary qualities of compassion, generosity, and wisdom, which clearly distinguished him from the other children of his village. On the 29th of October 1940, at the age of 14, he declared to his family and to the people of his village that he would henceforth be known as Sai Baba, and that his mission was to bring about the spiritual regeneration of humanity by demonstrating and teaching the highest principles of truth, righteous conduct, peace, and divine love. His mission was further amplified in a letter he wrote to his brother in 1947. He said, "I have a task to foster all mankind and ensure for all of them lives full of bliss. I have a vow to lead all who stray away from the straight path again into goodness and save them. I am attached to a work that I love, to remove the sufferings of the poor and grant them what they lack." Sai Baba's ashram, built by his devotees close to the village where he was born, was inaugurated on the 23rd of November 1950. It is called Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of divine peace. It has been the gathering place of millions of spiritual pilgrims of various faiths from all over the world. Every day, Sai Baba graciously walked among them to guide, comfort, console, and uplift them. The small temple dedicated in 1950 has grown into a spiritual oasis of unprecedented magnitude. Sai Baba has created a university with three campuses. He has developed two super speciality hospitals, doing the latest heart operations, etc., and serving the poor. He has been responsible for two major water projects, one serving over 700 villages in the state of Andhra Pradesh. All of these projects were entirely free. Students in his university and schools pay no tuition. The hospitals are entirely free, and the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust paid for the water projects. Education. Sai Baba places great importance on proper education for young people. Parents and community leaders are urged to concern themselves with the informal as well as the formal experiences to which their children and young adults are exposed. He has established a model education system which includes primary schools, secondary schools, and an accredited university with three campuses. No fees are charged to students, and admission is open to all, regardless of race, religion, or economic condition. In addition to emphasizing the pursuit of academic excellence, Sai Baba's system of integral education is designed to foster self-discipline and pro-social conduct. Students are required to take courses on morality and spirituality and to devote several hours each week to some form of community service. Sai Baba says that the end of education is character. Sai Baba's program in human values has spread worldwide. It is based on the five basic human values principles of truth, love, peace, right conduct, and non-violence. These human values are already in each child, and the task is to draw them out. Education does not consist of cramming knowledge and information into a child. It consists of drawing out that which is already in them. Sai Baba and his works. Sai Baba is a highly revered spiritual leader and world teacher whose life and message inspired millions of people throughout the world to turn Godward and to lead more purposeful and moral lives. His timeless and universal teachings, along with the manner in which he led his own life, are attracting seekers of truth from all the religions of the world. Yet he did not seek to start a new religion, nor did he wish to direct followers to any particular religion. Rather, he urges us to continue to follow the religion, pathway, of our choice and or upbringing. Sai Baba publicly declared his mission in 1940 at the age of 14. During his incarnation, he daily exhibited in practical and concrete terms the highest ideals of truth, right conduct, peace, love, and non-violence. He often stated, "My life is my message." Each day, hundreds of pilgrims make their way to the tiny hamlet in southern India where Satya Sai Baba's ashram, or spiritual headquarters, is located. They come not only from India, but from virtually every country in the world. Throughout his life, he demonstrated a whole range of miracles, such as materializations, healings, and bilocation, and many other yogic powers. He called these his calling cards. He said of his mission that these are the least important. "I give people what they want so that they will want what I have to give." Sai Baba interacts with all people on a heart-to-heart basis. There are no intermediaries between himself and those who yearn for knowledge and experience of God. Every day for more than 50 years, Sai Baba has walked among and talked with the spiritual pilgrims who gathered around him in increasing numbers. He offers solace and inspiration to all sincere seekers of truth. This relationship still continues, although not in the physical form. Healthcare. Sai Baba has built an ultra-modern 300-bedroom hospital close to the university and ashram. Highly specialized operations, including open-heart operations and kidney transplant, are performed routinely. There is no charge to the patient for professional or hospital expenses. Motivated by the desire to serve humanity, doctors, nurses, and workers in the hospital render extraordinary, compassionate, and loving care to all patients. Service to those in need. Sai Baba demonstrates that it is the duty of society to ensure that all people have access to the basic requirements for the sustenance of human life. Sai Baba has given his life selflessly to the service of mankind and says, "If there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. When there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world." Sai Baba's message. Satya Sai Baba encourages us to recognize who we are. We are not these minds. We are not these bodies. We are the eternal spirit that temporarily occupies these minds and bodies. We can appreciate and become who we really are by turning inward with faith in God and an intense yearning to know him. Our conscience is a reflection of the eternal spirit. Sai Baba tells us that our conscience is our master. When we follow our conscience, our thoughts, words, and deeds will be noble and consistent. Spirituality is having the courage and determination to follow our conscience in all things and at all times. In doing so, we recognize that we are all united in God. We are bound together by divine love. "I have come to light the lamp of love in your hearts, to see that it shines day by day with added luster. I have come to tell you of this universal, unitary faith, this spiritual principle, this path of love, this duty of love, this obligation to love. Every religion teaches man to fill his being with the glory of God and to evict the pettiness of conceit. It trains him in the methods of unattachment and discernment, so that he may aim high and attain spiritual liberation. Believe that all hearts are motivated by the one and only God, that all faiths glorify the one and only God, that all names in all languages and all forms man can conceive denote the one and only God. His adoration is best done by means of love. Cultivate that attitude of oneness between men of all creeds and all countries. That is the message of love I bring. That is the message I wish you to take to heart. Let the different faiths exist. Let them flourish, and let the glory of God be sung in all the languages and a variety of tunes. That should be the ideal. Respect the differences between the faiths and recognize them as valid as long as they do not extinguish the flame of unity. In a discourse on the 29th of September 1960, Chapter 31 of Satya Sai Speaks, Volume 1, Satya Sai Baba said this: I will be in this mortal human form for 59 years more, and I shall certainly achieve the purpose of this avatar. Do not doubt it. I will take my own time to carry out my plan so far as you are concerned. I cannot hurry because you are hurrying. I may sometimes wait until I can achieve 10 things at one stroke, just as an engine is not used to haul one coach, but awaits until sufficient haulage in proportion to its capacity is ready. But my word will never fail. It must happen as I will. During his discourse in Bombay in 1968, Baba said, 99 out of 100 of you do not strive to know my reality. Sai Baba has been accepted by millions as a modern avatar. That is a divine incarnation of the Godhead itself. Avatars are eminent spiritual personalities, divine intercessors and messengers of the highest spiritual principles. In a discourse given to a crowd of devotees, Sai Baba said, when the moral purity of mankind degenerates, God takes form as grace and inspiration in the wises and the teachers. Satya Sai Baba provided us with his own classification of avataric typologies. There are 5 types of avatars in the world. The first is the Nietzsche avatar, who lives a normal life, aware of responsibilities and one's own duty, giving love to all. The second is the Vishesha avatara, who incarnates with a specific goal. Once accomplished, he withdraws from this world. The third is the Avishesha avatara, a contemplative stage of consciousness in an earth-given body. It is the incarnation of a divine consciousness hidden within what seems to be, from a physical standpoint, an ordinary lifestyle. The fourth is the Amsa avatara, and refers to whoever possesses some divine power and the vision of God. These avatars stimulate goodness in all people and show them the way. The fifth is the Purna avatara, which is almighty, all-knowing, and all-loving. This avatar brings unity to humankind and builds the foundations for the kingdom of love. Sai Baba has demonstrated all the abilities of a major avatar and can therefore be assigned to the fifth type. Satya Sai Baba says that he is the second of a triple incarnation. The first was Shirdi Sai Baba. He has demonstrated intimate knowledge of this well-loved saint to many. He has also said that he will return to complete his mission of triple incarnations as Prema Sai Baba. Prema is a Sanskrit term for love. The missions of the triple incarnations. In Spirit and the Mind by Samuel Sandweiss, the author recounts an extended interview given by Satya Sai Baba to the senior editor, Mr. R. K. Karanja, of Blitz magazine in September 1976. Question: why had this task to be divided into three separate incarnations of the Shirdi, Satya, and Prema Baba? Baba: they are not separate. I have already mentioned the complete oneness of the three in the final objective of the mission. Their tasks and powers requisite to them differ according to the time, the situation, and the environment, but they belong to and derive from the same divine body, that is Dharma Swarup. The previous avatar, Shirdi Baba, laid the base for secular integration and gave mankind the message of duty as work. The mission of the present avatar is to make everybody realize that the same God or divinity resides in everyone. People should respect, love, and help each other, irrespective of color or creed. Thus, all work can become a way of worship. And finally, Prema Sai, the third avatar, will promote the evangel news that not only does God reside in everybody, but everybody is God. That will be the final wisdom that will enable every man and woman to go to God. The three avatars carry the triple message of work, worship, and wisdom. Satya Sai Baba left his physical body on the 24th of April 2011. And for more information on the life and work of Sri Satya Sai Baba, you can go to the website www.satyasai.org. And thank you for listening to my discourse on the life of Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Thank you, Anthony.
You're welcome.
Would you do me a kind favor for myself and all who are listening and who are interested to go to that website? Would you be so kind as to spell that out?
Yep. That's www.satyasai, that's S-A-T HYASAI.org.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for listening.
Again, that's www.satyasai.org, and that's SATHYASAI.org.
That's correct. Yes.
Thank you. Wow. So many revelations there. I really didn't have a well-rounded understanding of his life until you've just really opened the doors for me, and really shined a big spotlight on him for me. So I'm very grateful for that. And there was so much revelation coming through me as you were reading that, as you were speaking. One of the things, everything resonated, everything. I'm just kind of in awe.
Yeah.
Always want to listen to the life or experience of an ascended being, avatar, cosmic being, and the works that they've done. I always feel like I'm always following in their footsteps in some way. I always feel like, wow, you know, like a master after my own heart. That's how I feel about Saint Germain too, and everything. All the masters, they have all come. They all have a synonymous
message.
Synonymous works, yeah, messages and works. It's all very profound for me, and I just feel a little overwhelmed.
Well, I was reading today, actually, that Sai Baba is also linked to the Great White Brotherhood as well. Although he is a cosmic being, you know, he has been working through the White Brotherhood and the Ascended Masters and beings of this planetary system and the solar system. So I thought that would be good for you to know. In fact, I have a book that I think you would probably enjoy reading.
No question there. Yeah, wow, that's some really great information. One of the things that really stood out, and I want to point this one out, is, you know, I always say I'm moving forward, or we're moving towards something, but I heard turning Godward. That's
yeah.
Not a term that you often hear, but Godward is, for me, that really resonated in my heart so strongly. Like, wow, that's the direction. There's no real direction, but it's a way.
Yeah, I think that was his main message, because for humanity in general, I mean, Sai Baba was aware of the different stages that people on the earth are at. There are those, you know, who are new to spirituality. There are those who are more religious, and then there are those who are more spiritual in their outlook, and maybe a few like yourself who are more advanced. But he's come to work with everybody on the earth, and it's like he's come to change the direction of humanity in general. Although a lot of his work goes into a lot of detail in many of his teachings, which he expounded in discourses, and with his students in particular, he would spend many times talking about the inner principles of spiritual development and spirituality. And he would talk a lot about the Vedas, and he could quote all the Vedas, you know, even at a very young age, he would spontaneously just start speaking them. And he would come out and he would write bhajans, you know, on the spot. And a lot of them, they are actually are used during his discourses and darshans. So, yeah, he's just an amazing, all-round, wonderful being. But his main task is that, you know, he was fixed and firm about his task, and that was to change around the attitude of humankind in particular. He did talk about the age that we are in, the Kali age, being a dark age, and at certain times, you know, when humanity is threatened to be overcome by darkness, and we see a lot of things happening in the world which we, you know, we may call, for want of a better word, darkness, or activities that are far from the light. So these are the kind of things he's talking about. He said, because human beings in their essential nature are divine beings, you know. And Christ said the same thing. All avatars have said the same thing. All ascended masters, you know, they come to remind us of who and what we really are. And our happiness and fulfillment lies in our realizing who we really are, and to start living that. Because he does say that, you know, it is to develop the love for God and to love mankind, but to also to put it into practice.
Exactly. My life is my message. That's very strong. I've always felt that part of my divine plan is to live by example, and that's one of the things that I realized very early on was that, and it was, I think, it It is Gandhi who said it. Be the change you wish to see in the world. And that I grasped, that grabbed a hold of me years and years ago. And excuse me, and I always did my best to live by that example. And then I came to a point where I had to realize who was I living for. I had to do a really big self-check and make sure that I was, you know, doing what I was doing for the right reasons, that I was doing the right things for the right reasons, and not because, you know, I wanted to see the world different, so I was going around trying to change things. When I turned myself, you know, I knew I had it right. I had the right idea in mind, but I had to really kind of turn around and turn it all inward and Godward, as he says, and put that focus there and make sure that I was living the change myself for myself first so that then I could share it. Because you have to change it inside out, not outside in.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the change really sort of begins to set in when you realize within yourself that you are a part of that Godhead. Prior to that, when we believe we're separate individuals living separate lives, you know, we can become victims to all kinds of temptations and beliefs of the world. So it really is important that people, you know, you have to be quite resolute and discerning.
BBSRadio.com. And we're back. We apologize. We had a little, I think we had some sunspot activity there. And we had to go to a two minute pause to reconnect our sound. So, Anthony, are you with us too?
I am indeed. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, sound, good.
Sound is excellent again.
I'm so happy to be back.
It's not like you really went anywhere either.
No.
I never really go anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of finishing up with before the sunspot came and made us reconnect our sound. I was going into something about miracles, and now I've read things about in the I Am discourses and the Ascended Master teachings and what Saint Germain says is that these so-called miracles, you know, they really are actually our inherent natural abilities. They just seem like miracles or extraordinary powers because mankind isn't used to using them. Mankind's kind of forgotten how to use his natural abilities. He's forgotten who he is as his natural God self.
Yeah.
And one of the things Saint Germain speaks about in one of the books is that all of these miracles, they really become quite unimportant when one really realizes their connection, their oneness with their Creator. So that really becomes paramount. The oneness, the feeling of oneness, the experience of oneness with your Creator, with the presence, with your own presence, with the Almighty, I Am That I Am, is so much more profound. And, you know, these miracles pale in comparison to what this relationship and oneness with the Creator really is.
Yeah. Well, as Sai Baba called them his calling cards. And he said that he gave people what they wanted in the form of materializations. He materialized things like sacred vibhuti ash, and he materialized objects like rings and necklaces. But I say he called them his calling cards because he gave people what they wanted so that they would want what he had to give, meaning himself, his message, his teachings, and basically allowing him into their lives and into their hearts. Because just like the masters, once you let Sai Baba in, it's the divine aspect of him that he connects with, and with the divine aspect of the individual. And the more people become devoted to that kind of energy, that kind of love, the more they will naturally flourish and begin to develop their own innate qualities and potentials, and begin to live and fulfill their divine destinies and their potential, not to mention their life purpose. But it does take courage, and it does take determination and a willingness, because the alternative is what is currently going on in people's lives. As the Course in Miracles says, you can either be right or you can be happy, because the ego is the part of us that is very attached to the world as it is.
Beloved mighty I Am Presence, and beloved Saint Germain, beloved Portia, Violet Flame Angels, Arcturus and Victoria, Archangel Zadkiel, and Holy Amethyst, I call upon thee to blaze and protect me now. I call upon thee to blaze and protect me now. Violet and diamond in my heart, ignite your rapture, let it start. Heal me up till I am one and I become a blazing sun. Violet and rays astound, amaze, radiate your flames ablaze. Work them through me every hour, brightest light and fullest power. I am one with who I am, beloved I am, I am. I am come as freedom's flame, I am presence always reign. Always reign. Lightning flash within my soul, violet fire make me bold. Purple flashing diamond light, seal me every day and night. Love and peace and joy and bliss, perfect now, nothing amiss. Protection solid, lightning sealed, my heart open and free to feel. I am one with who I am, beloved I am. I am come as freedom's flame, I am presence always reign. Always reign. Violet diamond in my heart, ignite your rapture, let it start. Heal me until I am one, and I become a blazing sun. Violet rays astound, amaze, irradiate your flames ablaze. Work them through me every hour, brightest light and fullest power. I am one with who I am, beloved I am. I am come as freedom's flame, I am presence always reign. Always reign. Lightning flash within my soul, violet fire make me whole. Purple flashing diamond light, seal me every day and night. Love and peace and joy and bliss, perfect now, nothing amiss. Protection solid, lightning sealed, my heart open and free to feel. And I am one with who I am, beloved I am. I am come as freedom's flame, I am presence always reign. Always reign. And I am one with who I am, beloved I am. I am come as freedom's flame, I am presence always reign. Always reign. Always reign. Always reign.
And we're back. And I hope that everyone can hear us well now. There is a very interesting that's occurring on the sound wave today. And I do have an understanding about something like this. It does occur when ascended master activity comes in very strongly. Sometimes it affects the sound waves and the light waves. So if anyone is having trouble hearing us, please don't hesitate to call in at the 800 number and let us know that we need to readjust our sound. This is live air, so we're on it. We'll do whatever is necessary to make the connection and keep it connected as strongly as possible. So, Anthony, are you with us too?
I am indeed.
Terrific. Okay, well, I'm getting a kudos that it's much better now. So let us continue. That was a nice, I guess, 15-minute pause, intermission. And we had some wonderful songs from 2002 and Yassos and our very own Anthony Coco. So thank you so much. I think it's about time for a group theme card reading. How do you feel about that, Anthony? Are you inspired to receive this?
That sounds good to me. I've been looking forward to that.
Wonderful. Okay, so I'll be using two decks. I was really inspired with a really beloved sister who I was sharing with recently. I was inspired to bring two decks with me, and they're both Doreen Virtue Oracle card decks. One is called Angel Therapy, and the other is called Ascended Masters Oracles. So there's something that is really wonderful about the both of them together. What I've discovered, what the prompting was that came through me to do at the time, was to use the Angel Therapy cards first and then the Ascended Masters cards. So it's actually, I pull the card from the Ascended Master deck first, and it's the goal. It's the destination card. And the Angel Therapy Oracle card is the way that brings you to that goal or destination. So I'm going to go ahead and shuffle on the Ascended Master deck. And I'll make an invocation for, I ask in the name I am that I am, my very own beloved, mighty, immortal, victorious presence of God I am that I am, and each of our own individualized Mari I Am That I Ams on this call and all those tuning in to come forth and reveal a group soul or theme card for each of us today that would be significant for each of us in some way. Okay. And I thank you, beloved Mighty I Am Presence. So there were actually two that came out for the goal. And the goal cards are Health and Healing. Beloved Ascended Master Hilarion, Health and Healing. And also an accompaniment card to Archangel Michael's You Can Do It. So those are the goal cards. And now with the Angel Therapy card deck, I'll be pulling one from there. This will be the way to the health and healing with the affirmation that it can be done, that you can do it. Okay. So we have our way shower card from the Angel Therapy deck, and this is the Shield Yourself card. And it's really wonderful the way they work together. Shield yourself, protect yourself from harsh or fear-based energies by envisioning a cocoon of healing light surrounding you. This is the way to your health and healing, and you can do it. I'm going to go into the meanings, the written meanings a little bit more on this. and the Shield Yourself card, the angels brought you this card because of your heightened sensitivity to energies. This sensitivity means that you may inadvertently absorb other people's energies, which may make you feel tired, unfocused, or upset. Just as you wouldn't walk outdoors in a rainstorm without an umbrella, it's important to use an energy umbrella in the face of any emotional downpour. If you feel negative energy or people are arguing, competing, or using frightening words, it's vital for you to shield yourself. This means imagining that a bubble of protective light surrounds your entire body. You can also ask Archangel Michael to guard you from lower energies, and you can even borrow his shield as a protective buffer. Well, that makes sense as to why his card came out as an accompaniment to the health and healing, because he is the archangel who you'd want to call in to help shield yourself from anything that's around you that may be interfering with your path and what you wish to be working on as far as anything concerns with health and healing, or maybe just increasing strength, maybe increasing wellness. Maybe you've healed from something and there's recovery, and to become stronger, it's also important that you keep those energies balanced around you. So here's some action steps on this. Visualize yourself surrounded by one or more of the following colors. You can layer colors for multiple purposes, such as a white light next to you for general protection, followed by a second layer of green light for healing, and covered by a third layer of purple light for spiritual protection. Blue is increased communication and clarity. Green is healing and protection of health. Pink is lightheartedness and romance. Purple is spiritual protection. And white is general protection. The light shields last for about 12 hours, less time in harsh circumstances, so reinvoke them often. And this is something, it's kind of something that I do throughout the day myself. I do something called clearing etheric cords. And it's really important to do that to keep your energy fields clear. So whether you do it, shield yourself, or ask Archangel Michael to clear your etheric cords, things that have been attached to you throughout the day that you may not know are there, it's very, very helpful. It's very helpful. So that's the way to the health and healing. And now health and healing. Beloved Ascended Master Hilarion, this card is a sign of healing. Your divine healing power has awakened, and you feel compelled to help others heal. Just as you've been healed, so too do you want others to enjoy health and vitality. You are supported in making life changes so that you can continue to heal yourself and others. Let go of any fears or restrictive thinking to fully open the miracles of healing. And additional meanings are: an illness or an injury is healed or healing. You are a healer. It is a good and safe time for you to change to a healing career or study healing modalities. And beloved Hilarion, also known as Saint Hilarion or Master Hilarion, was a 4th century Middle Easterner who became renowned for his successful healing work. Hilarion was beloved by both Christians and those who practiced the old religions. Much of his life and healing work was immortalized by Saint Jerome's writings, which described Hilarion healing by commanding earthbound spirit attachments to leave. Call upon Hilarion for any issue involved or involving the healing or the clearing of energy. And beloved Archangel Michael, I just love these positive affirmation and reaffirmation cards, the way they come out as accompaniments. It's like the angels, they're really present, and they're really encouraging and boosting. It's like they're there. They're like, yes, call me, here I am. So Archangel Michael, and this is the energy that I'm feeling from him, is you're qualified and ready to take the steps toward your desired outcome. You have what it takes to fulfill your dreams and your life's purpose. This card signals that it's time now to make your move. You can do it. Take action without delay or hesitation. And additional meanings: no more preparing or procrastinating. Just do it. You are valuable. You're a valuable and beloved person. Break big goals into smaller steps and take one step today. You're on the right path. Let go of perfectionism and know that you'll do fine. And Archangel Michael is a powerful overseer of guardian angels. He helps light workers to remember and to fulfill their life's purpose. Michael holds the sword of light to cut away fearful attachments that bind us in apathy or procrastination. He gives us courage and strength to make life changes and to move beyond our comfort zone. Call upon Archangel Michael for protection, motivation, clarity, and courage. And that will complete the theme for today. So even if it's changing to a more positive situation, no matter what the circumstance is, Archangel Michael is behind each of us saying, yes, you can do it. Go ahead. It's safe for you to make this change. It's a good time for you to make the change, no matter what it is. Because, in fact, all of these changes really bring us more Godward.
That's great advice. Very thought-provoking as well.
Well, I hope everyone has enjoyed that. I certainly did. I always enjoy having a tool like this to assist us in our Godward motion.
Yeah, I think all the help we can get is always most welcome.
Yes, but we do have to ask.
Indeed, yeah.
We have to ask. It's important to remember to ask the masters and ask the angels and ask your guides and everyone who's around you, who you work with. Whenever you feel a certain, you know, inclination or draw to work with a being, or you're just thinking of one of them, it's probably good to say that that they are present. And it's interesting. This is another one of the things that Saint Germain has made clear to me, that as soon as you think of an ascended master, an ascended being, they're there. They're one with you. And it's not like they've gone somewhere while you've been doing other things. But because they're one with all of us, because they are already one in the presence. And they are already one with each of our own beloved God presence. So it's when we think of them consciously, it's like we've just become conscious that they are one with us. And it's really our outer intellect that's become more aware of their presence, their oneness. So, please go ahead.
Well, I was going to suggest that maybe whenever one feels like calling on the master, that maybe it's a good time to sort of go into the silence and just become a bit contemplative and just see what comes through by quietening the mind and relaxing the body. I always find that's a good way. It becomes, what's coming through seems to come more clear then. Because I've noticed at times it's very much more clear than other times when I take that effort to sit quietly and just quieten my mind down and take the time out.
I would have to agree. Thank you for sharing that. That's a great reminder for everyone to whenever you feel, you know, I'm gonna back up a little bit. I had a really wonderful experience this past week where, and I haven't really experienced this too often, but I've noticed it more and more and more, and it's about being in divine flow. And I noticed this just this one day where everything lined up so perfectly. It was just one thing after another, after another, after another, and it was consistent joy. And I didn't feel tired all day. And every prompting that was coming through, I was following. I didn't have to think about a thing. Where am I going to go next? What do I need to do next? It was really, really aligned. I felt so aligned with this divine plan coming forth. And, you know, I felt like I really felt very, you know, my presence felt very, very, very anchored that day. And where all of this, the physical form, really felt more like a vehicle that I was moving through and using. And it was really wonderful. And there, but I did come to a point that day where there was no more energy moving. And I felt, oh, okay. So maybe it opened up for me to kind of choose, okay, well, I've fulfilled maybe most of my divine plan for the day, whatever I was supposed to do. And now there's some free time or some choice time. You know, I have all these other projects that I'd love to move forward with. Maybe I could pick one of them. Well, maybe, and notice.
Maybe it was playtime.
Well, yeah, it's interesting you say that because I did try to move forward with something else and it wasn't working. It felt like I was going against the current of what was there. And really the message was to just be.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even, it wasn't even playtime, it was just be. And so I've noticed that more and more, that when you're in divine flow, but then you notice a pause, to actually really pay attention to that pause in the activity and go, okay, maybe I need to go be still 5 or 10 minutes to still myself. You know, if you have a little travel alarm or something, or an alarm on your cell phone, just set the timer. And it's like this amazing, it's like an oasis in the middle of the day or wherever it is in the day. It's just this beautiful, refreshing oasis of refreshing your power, your life force, you know, being in that oneness and just keeping yourself anchored in the present, in, you know, keeping your presence anchored here more consciously. I find it's very effective.
An oasis of calm.
Indeed.
Sounds wonderful. Yeah, I used to do something like that myself. I used to call it my inner sanctuary that I used to go to.
I like that.
Away from the world. I used to take my attention within, I used to do my own guided meditation. So I used to talk to myself. I used to talk myself in. I would relax my mind, calm my mind, and relax the body, and just go deeper and deeper within until I felt that inner peace. So for me, I say that's what I call it, my inner sanctuary.
Mm. Indeed. And we have a meditation that I'd like to share. It actually goes to a song that's already been played, but it's okay. The song is called A Choice from the Heart, and it's by the wonderful group 2002, and I'd love to do that meditation. It's something that came through me the other day, and this is kind of how divine inspiration works for me. I hear the words within me. It's kind of like I don't really hear them completely audibly within, but it's more like I feel them. And I feel them coming through me, and I just go and I write, and I knew I had to write it in. So I'd really love to do that. It's only about 5 minutes long. Is everyone up for maybe a 5-minute meditation? It's called From Story to Freedom.
I am. I'm ready.
Okay. I really appreciate your interruption there. Let's start the music again and again. This is From Story to Freedom. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. I now walk away. From a story that's unreal. And I now walk toward to fall back in space and time. And I notice what is unreal that seeps into the mind. And there is a pattern that returns. Just take a deep breath, feeling that freedom, feeling that the perfection that you are, feeling the oneness with your presence, feeling that freedom in your presence, as your presence. And when you're ready, take another deep breath and slowly open your eyes.
Oh, wow. I really enjoyed that. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Eve.
Thank you.
Did you say you came up with that during the week?
Yesterday.
Wow.
When divine inspiration flows, it's so fluid. It really is. It's more and more like a current of energy. And I've likened it many times from going from, you know, making the shift from the mainstream to your life stream.
Mm.
Because that's when you really plug into who you are and what you're here to do. Your divine plan. And when you get still enough and then you can feel the energy present and you know, within that energy, within that divine plan, the divine ideals, the seeds are also all of the instructions within that seed on how to fulfill the task that your presence has you fulfilling, or has an idea, has an intention to fulfill through you.
I think you should record that one.
I think it's been recorded.
Ah.
If Doug would be so kind to possibly excerpt it. I know I've gotten the message here today. I can do it. I can heal this technological situation here and get myself a better headset.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yes, I think it's time. So, message received. Thank you. And I know we have some wonderful other amazing things to talk about. I did want to touch on the topic of miracles, because Sai Baba did perform a lot of what a lot of, I guess, people would consider miracles.
Yeah.
And the Course in Miracles also teaches about this very thing. And I don't know if you have something that you'd like to share about that. Something from A Course in Miracles that actually speaks about these natural abilities that we have that are called miracles. Do you feel inspired, Anthony, to share anything?
Yeah, I think with A Course in Miracles, that emphasis on the miracle is more to do with the changing consciousness and change of attitude rather than actually performing like materializations and that sort of thing. Because the Course in Miracles emphasizes when your perception is healed and you begin to realize more of who you are, you begin to realize your potential. And the miracle really is when you change your perception on something and then the circumstances and conditions around you change. I mean, it's quite a miraculous. So the emphasis is different. Well, I mean, we know that Jesus did materializations and healings and things like that, but that is an advanced stage of spiritual development. That is more on the level of mastery. But on an everyday level for people who practice the Course in Miracles and the mind training, the unlearning, as you understand more in the Course in Miracles, and your perception is healed, then, as I say, the circumstances and people's attitudes and your experience of life changes. It becomes more joyful. So that's the sense of miracle that we talk about in the Course in Miracles. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm. And really, even Sai Baba was saying that, you know, the miracles that he performed were really just to attract people, just to get their attention. He said the real miracle was in the teaching, was in the transformation.
Yes.
I mean, that's what brought the happiness, that's what brings the joy, the fulfillment, and the peace of mind. It brings, you know, the loving relationships, the quality of life, which is what we're all striving for.
And because without God, none of that would be possible anyway.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that creating and doing, you know, having that oneness with your Creator and performing these miracles, and really what it is coming into your natural abilities that you can, you know, precipitate a substance in your hand, whether it's a diamond or sacred ash or a ball of light, whatever. It shouldn't be so distracting that it takes you away from your connection with your Creator.
I think also the Course in Miracles and Sai Baba emphasize that these tricks, they're really more like magic. They are things that can be performed on a mundane level, but the real miracle happens from the level of oneness, because at that level they transcend the laws of physics and time and space on this level. So from that point of view, anything is possible. On this level, it takes concerted effort. And we know that there are people, you know, conjurers and magicians that can do quite extraordinary things, or they appear to be, but those are what are classed as magic. They're not in the same league as miracles, which, as they say, they transcend the laws of physics and time and space. And they're done for a completely different reason as well.
Yeah,
magic is, you know, for more for getting attention. It's more for personal gain and that sort of thing. Whereas a master and an avatar, they're doing it for a whole completely different reason. For the purpose of evolution, for the spiritual growth, advancement, and the benefit of life as a whole.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a very dear friend who had mentioned to me, and I checked in, I'd asked Saint Germain if this was true, and he showed me very clearly something, which is, it's very interesting. It's about, now Saint Germain, now I know he performed miracles too when he was considered the Wonder Man of Europe, when he was Le Comte de Saint-Germain. And he lived for 300 years in a mortal form. But really, he had been offered his ascension. He had taken his ascension first, and he had received a special dispensation to come back as the Wonder Man of Europe to enlighten people. But what he did was he precipitated a lot of jewels, and he had jewels, diamonds on his shoes and lots of rings, and that attracted a lot of the, I guess, the wealth and the royalty of Europe at that time. They were interested in his wealth, and that is how he went about getting the attention. He wasn't really interested in the jewels, but it is how he used it to get the attention of the wealth and the royalty, to have them try to turn their attention into what's really important.
Yeah.
So it's interesting the way the masters use different means to get the attention of people, because sometimes, you know, miracles of appearing, disappearing, and other things don't really have an effect, believe it or not. But they have to find a way to find out what are people paying attention to, and then they get their attention. And they can draw it from wherever they're paying attention to, and they can draw it Godward from, and you can go Godward from wherever you are. You know, you don't already have to be on a spiritual path to be turning to God. You know, and a lot of times I think, and at least this is true in my experience, I never came from an actual religion or association. My parents did raise me Catholic, but I left the Catholic Church when I was a teenager because I just didn't resonate with a lot of the fear-based teachings, and I knew I needed to follow my heart and go on my own and develop my own connection with God, I guess. And since then, I have been what I consider to be God-taught, where I've had maintained my own connection with God, and that connection has brought me to different things, different teachings, different masters, and different groups to work with that, you know, my God presence knew that it would be beneficial for me to learn from, different books, different events, different retreats, things that I would do to, you know, accelerate my own, I guess, my own awakening. And I always trusted that. I always followed it because it always felt right to me. And I knew what was coming through. Sometimes was uncomfortable, but if I was really being given a strong message, to trust it, even though it was kind of uncomfortable or something that I didn't want to look at. Depending on what was involved, maybe it involved travel somewhere that I'd never been, or going to meet a group that I'd never, you know, I didn't know anybody, but I was really strongly guided to go to join with a group and gather in a spiritual activity. I would go. I just trusted, and it always panned out to be a really magnificent blessing. So, yeah, you know, there's a trusting in what comes through wherever you are, in whatever you're feeling in your heart to turn to. If you know, you know, like you said, that really impressed upon my consciousness, this other thing about what you said about Sai Baba, is our conscience is our master. And I really, really resonate with that, because that's the place of honesty. That's the core of honesty. Your conscience knows what's going on. If you turn to that and live from that place, there's no way you can't be in your presence. There's no way you can't be in love when you're completely honest with yourself and everyone around you. Then it's easy. It gets easier anyway. So this is my experience and some of what I'm sharing there. How do you feel about that? And that conscience is your master.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's a profound statement.
It is indeed. I would also add to what you were saying. It seems, you know, that when you're in this flow, you're in this way of life, the things become easy. It seems to be a flow. There's a simplicity about it and an ease about it, which seems a stark contrast compared to what's happening in the world. The world, what I call the world of the ego, where there seems to be so many problems. It seems to be a world of effort and a world of struggle. So there is quite a stark contrast. And again, you know, it brings you back to what we were talking about before, making the transition and the transformation, the journey from one to the other.
That's a magnificent point. Thank you. I'm actually writing some of this down. I'm always journaling. I've always got pen and paper somewhere.
I've noticed.
I've noticed you do too.
Yeah, I do take a few notes occasionally. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. It's really fun. You know, and the journal, you know, at the beginning of the broadcast, I encourage, and we've been encouraging everyone to have, you know, a journal and paper, pen, whatever, with you, because it's so helpful that, you know, when we're on the air and, you know, we're tuning in and we're connecting in oneness with everyone who's listening in, and even those who will listen in to the archives later, which, by the way, are up and available and free. So if you don't get a chance to listen to a full broadcast, you can always click back later and check it out on the free archives. But it's really important, and I've found that whether I'm reading a book or I'm listening to something or I'm even in silent meditation, I keep a journal and paper with me. I mean, the journal and pen with me. Because you just never know when something of really profound revelation is going to come through. And I've noticed that it comes through in the moment, and then sometimes later, you know, an hour later, you try to remember it. Oh, God, what was that? It was so good. It was so good. And it's gone.
Yes.
So, and this is the way that when you start journaling, I have found that this leads to that progressive revelation, because the masters know what we're doing. And they've, you know, it's kind of like you can't hide from God. God knows what we're doing. And if your presence and the masters, whoever you're working with or whoever's working with you, sees that you are attentive and that you're paying attention and that you're desiring this revelation to come forth, more is going to come. So when you start, it opens the door for more.
That's a great
desire.
Point. Yeah.
And the more often you sit in the silence, or the more often you follow that divine flow, and then you notice that there's a pause in the energy, okay, pay attention, maybe, you know, tune in. Is it time for me to just be? No, maybe I need to go sit down. Maybe there's something I need to journal. Maybe there's something I need to read. Just pause. There's something there. And it's, you know, it's very tangible. So instead of trying to figure it out, it's maybe, okay, let me sit down and breathe for a few minutes and then have your journal handy, because there may be some revelation coming through about it. It could be the next step in fulfilling your divine plan, whereas if you tried to think about it, it actually wouldn't come through because you're searching consciously instead of just allowing what comes through naturally. Instead of trying to think about it, if you let it come through naturally, then it's effortless.
That's a really good point you're making, because that reminds me of a time when I used to start receiving in the early hours of the morning. I'd kind of been at half awake, half asleep state, and that's when I used to receive an idea for a song. That's when I used to receive the lyrics and the music in the middle of the night. And if I did make the effort to get up and write it down and make a recording of it, even if it was only rough, and I kept the idea, because I knew that in the morning, through experience, if I didn't do that, I would have lost it and it was gone. And so many of my favorite songs and my best songs came in the early hours of the morning between 3 and 4 a.m. That's what Sai Baba called the auspicious time. And I say I wake up in the morning, I'd listen to the song, and then I'd remember it. And then I could work on it and develop it, and within an hour or two, I could have it recorded. Fortunately now, I can kind of wake up in the morning, I can go to bed, and I can think, I'd like an idea of a theme or an idea running around in my head, and I'll sleep on it. And as long as I sort of do something about it, when I wake up first thing in the morning, I'll record it or I'll play around with it. Then I can record it. I don't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. But in the beginning, that's how I used to do it.
That's wonderful. I share that experience as well with my writing and things that have come through me. Usually, sometimes it would happen at 3 or 4, usually around 5. 5 or 6 a.m. Is usually the time that, and that's pending I have a good night's sleep. Sometimes I go to bed a little too late because I'm doing a lot of work. But usually if I wake up just naturally around 5 or 6, and I usually do wake with a lot of inspiration. And when you wake, and I have found that when I wake with the words in my head there, that it's coming through. There's a transmission coming through, and I need to be on it. And so it's good to have the journal right by your bed too, because in waking time, sometimes you have a waking vision. Sometimes there's, you know, activity from the dream time that you're remembering where you were. There could be a message there, and there could be inspiration there. And there could be, you know, I get a lot of poems and I get songs as well. And I've woken up also hearing the music, and I've gone to my keyboard and do, 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 do. And it just comes right out. It's right there. It's very tangible.
That's also when I write my articles in the morning as well. That's definitely the most productive and inspiring time for me as well. So it varies, you know. I seem to go through different periods. Sometimes it's music, sometimes it's writings. Other times it's thoughts, it's inspiration, and it varies. It seems to vary. I go through periods and cycles, and it's wonderful. It's all great. It seems like one moment it's all Course in Miracles and themes. Another minute it's all the music. Another time I get guided meditations and ideas to play around with audio and music, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, I agree. It varies for me as well. And I'm sure that it varies for everyone. It's not going to be, you know, the same thing over and over. Although there could be maybe long-term phases of, you know, maybe someone's writing a book. So there is a tendency to maybe have all these, you know, a lot of writing at one point, and then it may shift over to music, or it may shift over to poems or something different. So you never know what's going to come through if you just allow and trust. I've really found that that's really worked for me, and it's helped me to stay in divine flow.
I think this is a great point. Can I just to emphasize the fact?
Sure. We've got about 2 minutes left, so go ahead. I'm going to finish off with your sharing.
Well, I just want to remind people that there is so much variety, and it just gets so interesting. There's never a dull moment. It's always productive. So if anybody who thinks spirituality is a dull or a boring pathway, then I think once they begin to experience this sort of inspiration and enlightenment and, as you were saying, creativity, you know, it really enriches the individual life. So I just wanted to add that point.
It really does. Thank you for adding that. Yes, it's very enriching. And you find that you start really tapping into your own divine potential when you start allowing that and just allow the flow to come forth. And when you really pay attention to that, and then you choose to actually bring it forth, hone in on it more, and bring what's already there and allow the stream to come through, you find that you're already in the flow. It's like you're there. And there is nothing else. So in divine flow, when you're there, you know, I'm going to end with the encouragement to ride the current, you know, pick up the surfboard in that moment when that inspiration is coming forth, when the energy is really present for something for you to move on, pick up that surfboard and ride the current and see what happens and trust it.
Indeed.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. And again, our apologies for the sound. And I'm sure it can be edited, so the archives will probably sound a little bit better than it did today. But we hope that everyone has really enjoyed our show today. And thank you all for tuning in. And God bless us all in loving oneness. Thank you, Anthony, my wonderful co-host.
Thank you, Eve.
For sharing.
And thank you, folks, for listening. Have a great day or a good evening, wherever you are.